Hey folks, it's your friend and your first Bad Ideas co-host, Gabriel Urbina, here with a very quick announcement. Zach, Sarah, and I have been hard at work on a couple of new things, a couple of new ideas, and new projects that, fingers crossed, we'll hopefully be able to talk to you about and be able to tell you more about in the very near future. And it's very exciting and very awesome, but also very time consuming. In fact, it's so time consuming that this week we were just not quite able to finish putting together a whole new No Bad Ideas episode for you. But never fear, we've pulled out one of our favorite episodes from the No Bad Ideas vault, one of the early, early episodes in our feed that you can no longer listen to on a regular No Bad Ideas feed, and we're going to present it for you as a special Bad Ideas Classic Edition. And then we'll be back on your feeds with a whole brand new episode next week. And hopefully, before too long, we'll also have some exciting announcements about new things coming down the pipeline. But until then, I leave you in the very capable hands of past Gabriel, past Sarah, and past Zach. Enjoy.
This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
To No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
I am your first Bad Ideas host. My name is Gabriel Urbina.
Hello, I am your second Bad Ideas host. My name is Sarah Shackett.
And this is Leggy number three, Zach Valenti, at your service.
And today we actually are joined by a very special guest here in the studio. We are so excited to be here with the host and producer of the great podcast Other Men Need Help, Mr. Mark Pagan. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Hi, guys.
Great to have you here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I'm going to not bury the lead that I'm in a room with people and it's my birthday next week. So I just want to announce that I'm having a birthday. This is a birthday week. So this is like my birthday present.
Excellent. The beginning of the celebration.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I've got nothing else planned.
That sounds like a great birthday week, honestly, though.
Yeah, means that you have like time in the lead up to find something that feels like the right thing for the moment.
That's it.
Which I think is often the key to a great birthday.
Well, I'm relying on you guys for these bad ideas to actually give me good ideas, like to spark something when I leave here today. So
I sincerely hope that nothing you end up doing has anything to do with any of the bad ideas discussed, except maybe as a mirror image opposite.
Yeah. Sort of a nega idea.
All right, I will take that note.
Judging from the smirk on these two faces, I think it's going to be very, very bad.
If you are joining us for the first time, dear listeners, this is a show where we try to find some of the worst ideas that humanity has ever had. Things that are misguided, things that people didn't really think all the way through before they just launched themselves into, just kind of fever dreams that went horribly, horribly wrong.
Yep.
We bring them to our co-hosts and to our guests, in the case of today, and then we have just 10 minutes to try to turn them into the pitches for good stories. And I actually have the first idea today.
And it is a first in several respects.
So I don't know if this happens to you guys, Zach and Sarah, but ever since we started doing this show, I periodically get text messages from people that are just kind of going, oh my God, I just saw this crazy article and you have to use this for No Bad Ideas.
It's both great and awful.
So and you guys take them up on that?
Is
that
it depends. Sometimes we do. Yeah. Sometimes we do.
I always take them up on clicking through. Whether or not it makes it to the episode is a rare one. And sometimes they are typically, how do I say this? Grosser than we normally go with. There's no intentional choice to riff on.
Yeah.
So this morning when I woke up, I, you know, rolled over out of my bed and I had looked at my phone and it was, you have 9 text messages, 4 Twitter DMs, 9 emails, all with people that had just seen this article and had been, oh my God, you have to do this for No Bad Ideas. Turns out Sarah also.
I also saw it on the Twitters and I was like, oh my God, I have to bring this to No Bad Ideas. So we had a first where usually beforehand we'll go like, so does your idea involve aircraft? And usually
we go, no, my idea does not involve aircrafts.
Good, fine. We have different ideas. And so we can surprise each other.
Today it was surprisingly a different answer. But yeah, so
I know what is about to come and I could not be more delighted, dear listeners.
This is just an idea that has so much bad idea gravitation behind it. So let's dive right in without any further ado. Dear listeners, if you would like to read along at home, there's going to be a link to this great, great article in the description for today's episode. But let's get started with our first bad idea today. The headline reads, man requests trial by combat with Japanese swords to settle custody battle with ex-wife. Don't worry, Zach. It gets a lot worse.
1 second. Custody of a child?
One assumes.
Don't worry. It gets a lot
worse.
We're
not going to a baby slicing blaze, are we?
It gets worse.
Oh,
no,
God.
No. It's not going over there. Okay. Don't worry.
Thank God.
All right. The article itself reads, a Kansas man asked an Iowa court to grant his motion for trial by combat so that he can meet his ex-wife and her attorney, quote, on the field of battle, where he will rend their souls from their corporal bodies.
Corporal misspelled. I just want to point that out.
David Ostrom, 40, of Paola, Kansas, claims in court documents that his ex-wife, Bridget Ostrom, 38, quote, destroyed him legally. He asked the Iowa District Court in Shelby County to give him 12 weeks lead time to source or forge katana and wakizashi swords, according to the Carroll Times Herald.
That's why court cases take so long.
He's like, wait, I need more time to make
or find,
but probably make.
Quote, to this day, trial by combat has never been explicitly banned or restricted as a right in these United States.
That's a horrific fun fact.
Ostrom argued in court records, saying that it was used as recently, with giant air quotes, as 1818.
Just the blink of an eye, really.
Boy.
On Monday, Ostrom told the Des Moines Register he got the idea after learning about a case in 2016 in which New York Supreme Court Justice Philip Minardo acknowledged that duels had not been abolished. Ostrom said that the motion stemmed from his frustrations with his ex-wife's attorney, Matthew Hudson. Quote, I think I've met Mr. Hudson's absurdity with my own absurdity, he said. Ostrom said his ex-wife can choose her attorney as a champion or stand-in fighter. Hudson filed a request to the trial by combat motion by first correcting Ostrom's spelling. Quote, this is what Sarah was getting at. Surely Ostrom meant corporeal bodies, which Merriam-Webster's defined as having, consisting of, or relating to a physical material body, said the attorney. Although Ostrom and potential combatant do have souls to be rendered, they respectfully request that the court do not order this done. Hudson argued that because a duel could end in death, such ramifications probably outweigh those of property tax and custody issues. Quote, it should be noted that just because the U.S. and Iowa constitutions do not specifically prohibit battling another person with a deadly katana sword, it does prohibit a court sitting in equity from ordering the same, Hudson wrote. This is a good attorney. Hudson asked the court to suspend Ostrom's visitation rights and order him to undergo a court-ordered psychological evaluation.
Yeah, that sounds like a good... I would imagine that that could only help somebody who wants to do trial by combat.
Historically, Ostrom said in court records, trial by combat was not always won by way of death, but also when a party cries craven, yielding to the other. Respondent and counsel have proven themselves to be cravens by refusing to answer the call to battle. Thus, they should lose this motion by default, Ostrom wrote.
I see.
Adding that if the other party decided otherwise, he wants to proceed with a blunted practice style of sword play. The court did not rule on either party's motions, and Hudson was not immediately available for comment. This, however, is the pièce de résistance. Mm-hmm. Ostrom, who doesn't have any experience with sword fighting, doesn't anticipate the judge will let his request go forward, but he wants an answer anyway. When asked whether he was serious about the dueling offer, Ostrom said, "If Mr. Hudson, i.e. the attorney for his wife, is willing to do it, I will meet him. I don't think he has the guts to do it."
I gotta give it to his commitment here.
Right?
Weird flex. I have to give it to his commitment.
All right. So to recap, man, custody battle, his wife's attorney, in his opinion, destroys him.
Yeah.
And so he's like, how do I get back at them? I know. Let's settle this trial by combat style. Court, please let me have 12 weeks to find or make some katanas in order to do this.
I changed my mind. This is Game of Thrones' fault.
It is a little bit Game of Thrones' fault.
This man is a father?
It's implied. It's a custody case.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. Let's start trying to figure out.
The time on the clock.
The time is running starting now.
Oh, man. So you know Laura Dern's character in Marriage Story? Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Just give her a katana.
There. Problem
That's it,
solved.
Idea. Franchise.
This could be televised, maybe like local community access. Mm-hmm. A few things can happen here. So this could get televised, local community access. Where
sword court?
Yes.
Oh my god, like court. Night court.
This can bring money back to public media. And attention to Boise. This is where it takes place.
I think it's Kansas. Des Moines.
Des Moines. Yeah.
Okay.
Can we get Judge Judy involved?
I don't know. She's sort of locked
I'm sorry,
into her own thing.
Sensei Judy.
Like, what's Marie Kondo doing?
Oh, all right.
She's sparking joy with swords.
Never mind. I'm convinced.
But no, I like this idea of like local access, like making it as sort of quotidian and lo-fi and anti-spectacle as possible. And you know, boring as most legalese is,
because but like most of them,
truly the C-SPAN of knives. Yeah.
Because most of them would not be good fights.
No.
Like most of them would be sort of very, very clumsy. One person would yield very
especially
quickly.
Especially if it's like blunt weapons,
right?
You know, then you know you're just watching people flail around in sort of a televised, sanitized bar fight.
Right. Okay. And so is this something that we are pitching for real life? This is something that we are pitching for kind of a Parks and Rec style sitcom about the people that have to,
run this
and the bureaucracy behind it.
Do we want to do like a movie where people are creating this public access channel in their town in order to settle their own disputes? Is this like a pitch for an actual, like,
reality
do we
want
to work out the details of like who we're trying to cast on this and the kind of cases that we would do if this were real? What sort of is interesting to you guys?
I think so. There's part of me, there's like a Running Man part of my brain that's going like, about like a lo-fi version of Running Man. There's also something, this is unrelated to this, is like, this actually is a great idea for like live action role play issues.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, so, but something where it's like, you could bring all of these elements in. So, but like real world, real life stuff. So let's say two married, you know, a couple in live action, the LIRR. Can I say, is that what live action role play? LIRR.
Oh, LARP. Yeah.
Live action. Yeah. LARP. Like, say two people are married in that world and they have an issue of custody battle. And this is like, right. This is what you do in that, is that like, this should be official. Like the live action role play community should use this. And again, maybe it's like a step muted where it's not actual swords, but like still maybe blunt instruments.
Like small claims court.
Yes.
In jousting at the Ren Fair.
I think that'd be great.
And I mean, and one of the custody battles would be, if we're splitting up, who gets to keep this game? Who gets to keep this party?
Oh, yeah, all of the...
We need to kind of settle this.
All of the weapons and costumes and like jeweled goblets and all of the things that they have.
And kind of, you know, like we have to like split up, like who goes to what convention, who goes to sort of like, you know, what... get together.
Right. And I guess then we sort of need to figure out whether we're following, as you said earlier, Gabrielle, one couple through this process, or whether it is about the people who facilitate this and sort of rule and ref
of
this.
The games.
Yeah.
Right. Because at the end of the day, like, it's one of those, the thing.
Or is it like a group that's setting this up? Because they can see like their married couple friends are having an issue and like they want to help them work this out.
Yeah.
And this is the way.
Yeah. Right. Right. Because at the end of the day, I feel that what is most attractive about a place where this is actually kind of an instrument of the law is who would choose to use this? Who would be the people that would make the decision to kind of go, that's how we want to settle this in a legally binding way?
And then you get the issue of like, are there people who, if this was real, sort of like, are there people who are professional champions for like small claims, trial by combat in Iowa?
Right. Yeah. No. And could you sort of like, you know, make a real career out of petty crime just because you are, you know, you spent 5 years training in kendo?
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. Right. So, yes. Yeah, so I feel that there could be something to the people that are trying to get this placed into the legislation, but maybe they need a test case. Maybe they need kind of a proof of concept, and they're interviewing different people, talking to kind of different people that have disputes, different sort of couples that have custody issues, or different people that have things that they're trying to settle in small claims court.
I mean, I could imagine sort of like a mockumentary frame around this whole thing, where it's like the small town that's trying to get this together, and there's maybe the sort of zany visionary founder team that's like really like needs to fill this hole in their community, and then the like overworked public defender who's like really trying to shut this down as quickly as possible to attend to real cases, and then just like the LARPing community that's like sort of in the middle of all this in a way, like, you know, they've sort of become the platform that this is getting excised on. Is that the right word?
Exercised, whatever.
Yeah. No, I do like that. And then like it's almost kind of a waiting for Guffman kind of a setup, where, you know, it could be sort of a mockumentary about this town, and you're sort of going through all the people that this is touching and affecting. And it's really kind of about their community and about sort of, you know, what happens when you have a town where everybody knows everyone really, really well, and you sort of need a kind of external thing to kind of light up all the dynamics that are slowly simmering under the surface. You know, it could be one of those things where it's the sword fight to settle, you know, Bill and Mandy's custody battle is one of those things that ends up bringing out everyone's dirty laundry in the town.
Also, how private can they be with their practicing for these battles? Like, especially if it's a small town, I think there's something compelling there where it's like, or, you know, like secret photos got leaked of like techniques that so and so is practicing. or is there like just these side elements? Like, is there a a sort of like YouTube tutorial of like, so you got a custody battle coming up. Here's what you need to do. You know, like here are the techniques.
Absolutely, you know, there like, should be.
Like 12 techniques to win your custody battle in 3 blows or less. Number 6 will blow your mind.
Yeah. If your spouse has a big time lawyer, they'll traditionally use this move. And like, right. there. Oh, man.
That's fascinating.
The best counter for a broadsword is counterintuitively not a broadsword.
Yeah. Whoa.
Shield and rapier.
Right. Oh, no, that's great. I love that. This is your minute and a half warning. Oh,
okay. So, I think we have sort of a very rich setting and some like things we can throw in.
There's definitely like the scaffolding.
Yeah. And I think probably it seems like it's Bill and Mandy's custody battle. That it's going to be about one couple as in a small town. Where this has just rolled in and, you know, it will sort of ripple out everything they're doing to get ready for this, why they choose it to settle things this way, who is actually going to be doing the fighting.
And let me ask, let me throw sort of another stone into the pond in the minute that we have left.
Please.
Is it a setting where Bill and Mandy are actually kind of pretty evenly matched? Or is it the sort of a thing where one person kind of comes from a richer family and they're paying for their lawyer, and so they're the other sort of, you know, person in the matchup is very outclassed, and this is kind of their desperate Hail Mary trying to level the playing field kind of a thing?
I'm not sure that it's about resources. I think maybe, you know, you could have one person doing this as a way to like prolong the process because they don't want to be divorced or something like that. I think they probably are pretty evenly matched.
I like that. Mm-hmm. In the 10 seconds that are left, just confirming the title is Sword Court.
All day.
Okay, great.
Sword Court all day.
And that is time.
Wow.
All right, guys. Well done. That was brilliant. Oh my god, that is that was a great place to take that like absolutely bonkers article.
What a crazy story.
Right.
I hope that guy gets the help he needs.
Never trust anyone who says these United States. Yeah.
Well, let's take some time to dwell on that lesson. And we'll be right back.
Hey y'all, breaking into the show for a moment, give you a little breather between ideas, and also to let you know that we have a Patreon. We still do. It's still there. It's still great. There's still wonderful rewards that you can take advantage of by supporting us in making this show and making all the other things that we make. You can head on over to nobadideaspodcast.com/support to check out everything we offer over on Patreon and help support us and keep the show going. Again, that's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Thank you so much if you're already one of our proud patrons. And if you can't contribute at this time, that's okay. We love you all the same. But Patreon really helps us keep this show going. And so please consider just checking it out. But not right now, because we have an episode to get back to right now. All right, and we are back for another bad idea. This one, sadly, not involving lawyers or swords.
Boo.
But
what
schemes.
Is it even about? Okay.
But lots of schemes.
Right. I forgot about schemes.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll take... I'm taking care of you, Zach. Don't worry.
how could I doubt?
So this, I found this on Twitter, but it comes from the Reddit the subreddit. Am I the asshole? Which is a place on the internet.
Real question. Have you guys ever seen anything from that Reddit where your impression was, no, you're fine. You're not being the asshole.
I haven't extensively read there. But,
if you have to ask.
But yeah, it's one of those. And this one, this one's just great. Okay. So someone wrote on r/am I the asshole. Mm-hmm. Recently, I came up with what I think is a very delicious and innovative sandwich recipe.
I don't know why that's like, I'm so in already.
Continue.
The ingredients complement each other beautifully, even though the combination is unique. I came up with a basic business idea to generate some extra money from this sandwich. The city I live in has lots of delis, deli spelled with an apostrophe S, old school kind of places, and also newer, quote, hipster kind of places and everything in between. I have been approaching the managers at these delis with the following proposal.
Oh, God. Is he trying to license?
For a one-time fee of $50, I will sell them the recipe. And also conduct a training session for their staff on how to properly make the sandwich. And also to educate them on the themes present in the sandwich.
Oh my God.
This is the same guy, by the way, from the last.
Oh, yeah.
This is Mr. Ostrom back for more.
100%.
Gotta pay those legal
then
bills.
It even gets better. Then I will take a 20% cut of the price for each sandwich sold. So let's just say the deli I took. That took my deal and they charged $10 for my sandwich and then only sold 10 of them per day, I'd make $140 per week, $190 the first week with my fee, and basically $560 per month from one place. But to be honest, I have faith my sandwich would probably sell around 40 to 50 per day given the volume of customers and the quality of my sandwich.
That's per deli, presumably.
Per deli.
Okay, great.
So you do the math, plus I'd have more than one deli to sell it. Ka-ching. I have approached 11 deli managers so far, and every one of them so far has said no. And a few of them have even acted weird or even rude to me on the matter. Twice I got into a slight argument based on the interaction. They don't seem to understand the value of my sandwich. I think maybe many of them are too proud to take on a recipe from an outsider, but I feel I'm being reasonable. It goes on. When I explain to my friends what I am doing and that I intend to keep approaching delis on this matter, many of them claimed I was being an asshole by doing this. They think it is rude, basically, to ask a deli to sell my recipe and that I shouldn't fight for my dreams. I think my terms are generous, and I am really only helping these delis if they would only open their minds. If they sold my sandwich, their profits would grow measurably even after I take my cut. Is it really that rude to try and sell my recipe? My friends are threatening to not go to lunch with me anymore. I have promised them I will try to sell my recipe when we do so, but all I am trying to do is hustle. This has caused, surprise, surprise, interpersonal conflict because I defend my dreams with passion, which leads to my friends accusing me of overreacting. And yes, I am passionate when I try to sway deli managers. I even cried once, but it is with their own interest in mind and not just my own. And so, gentlemen, I ask you all, am I the asshole?
Holy shit. So, wait. Start the clock.
Oh, my God.
The clock has started now.
You guys seen the movie The Founder?
I'm crying.
The story about Ray Kroc.
Yes, I have.
Actual McDonald's founder. So, I have a new movie. It's called The Asshole.
And that's the name of the sandwich, too, right?
It's very similar to this movie, except...
That's right.
Okay, wait. Zach, what are the themes of the movie, though? Is the same as the themes
hustle.
Of the sandwich?
Yeah. Hustle and Hunger.
Hustle and Hunger would be a great name for
me. What if the and the asshole actually is part of the ingredients? It's like a pig's asshole that is in the thing, but like nobody can pinpoint it. Nobody can pinpoint like what is this meat? You'd never be able to guess.
These would never know.
Hint of shit.
Oh no!
Right.
Oh wow!
I love though how like
you know, how we learn a lot about the themes of his sandwich and the value of his sandwich.
Right.
But we never even get like a general, is it a tuna sandwich? Is it a roast
beef? Well, you gotta pay for that, Gabriel.
But like, give me a genre of sandwich. Like, is there meat? Is there,
quality,
is it a veggie?
Innovation.
An unexpected combinations.
I
profit.
See.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Passion.
I am crying from laughing so much.
So here's like a, I guess the best I can, a neutral question. Cause I haven't worked extensively mm-hmm. in the restaurant industry. I've right. barely touched it. You know, I've done some stuff in my life. Now, honest question. Can you, like, let's say you have, besides like a McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have a like a product, like a certain kind of sandwich. Those do, like at a Subway or, right. or something. Those do get marked. They get marked saying like we've sold, you know, things will get discontinued.
Sure.
Be like,
right.
So I guess, is there, to play devil's advocate, is there an option in the restaurant world where you license a particular kind of like sandwich and then you get a cut based on like, boop, you know, like we've sold 100 today.
Right.
Here's the one circumstance that I think that would exist in. And I'm just getting flashbacks to college where we had this sort of grab and go spot and they had these like health food sandwiches. Mm-hmm. They were sort of like tofu versions of a tuna fish salad sandwich that had some brand sticker on it. So like somebody was bringing those sandwiches to the school. The school had nothing to do with those. It was another place where you could get sandwiches that the school would make. And like, I've seen those sandwiches around various like healthier bodegas
right,
around
but
the
that's,
city.
That's like a company distributing exactly. sandwiches that they're making.
So that's how he would do it.
Yeah. That's,
he would just have to
like
start
making grab and go sandwiches for like fast takeout right. places.
Not going to delis, but just kind of like going to like Starbucks and it's like stock my delicious prepackaged
right.
sandwiches.
The way that they have like expensive protein bars or things that don't have the Starbucks logo on
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, the other thing he could do is become an executive at say a Blimpie's or like a, you know,
but that takes working his way to the top, right. you know.
Which
he's got to climb the corporate
like he
ladder.
He has the hustle to do, right. to be quite honest.
whatever movie ends up being made about this character, can we have him be played by Christian Bale, just like someone that is unnecessarily intense in absolutely everything? Because I would just like, I think that that would
but
be
like,
I think the
which
correct
Christian
energy.
Bale, like starving Christian.
Yeah,
Bale?
He's lost. Lost 50 pounds for the role.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like digitally aged up, digitally aged down.
Mm. Both. Everything.
Well, here's the thing too about like the intense Christian Bale. I'm picturing this guy, he's talking about his friends, or I can't remember exactly what it was said, but like
they
like
don't
people
want to eat lunch with him anymore.
And I'm like, on the surface, this is, you know, if I think of a friend and like if I'm putting a surrogate friend in this role, it's like it's probably just like annoying and I probably roll my eyes like, oh, that's a crazy idea. If they're distancing himself, then he is like maniacally like
oh, yeah.
50 pounds
like
left. Christian Bale.
Only thing that they can yeah. talk about.
Yeah. She's like, no, like, let me tell you, man. Like, this is like what you're yeah.
incredibly desperate for money and yeah. very like weirdly passionate about this project.
Yeah, no, or right. like at the very least, when you go out to get lunch with the guy, he spends 30 minutes talking to the manager
yeah.
to the point where he's even crying.
Oh God. It's like, yeah, dude, I'm going through a divorce. Can we like, I wanted to come out to lunch and have a conversation with you about my love life.
Right.
Right.
He's like, no, like, man, you don't get it. These people here.
Leader level eye contact. No blinking, staring down the fucking manager.
Right. Oh my God.
I would love to see this guy. I just recently, the last 6 to 12 months have been introduced to Shark Tank. Never seen it before.
Oh, yeah.
And my girlfriend is into it occasionally where like her parents' place or a place with cable will watch it. And I find it super captivating. It's a fun show to watch. I think this guy has a chance.
Yeah.
This guy, or I don't know, gender wise, a man or woman.
I
think it's
unclear,
pretty
but
safe.
Yeah,
bet.
It's pretty. I would.
Oh
I,
my gosh, you guys, update. Oh. The Reddit handle, which I did not see before for this, I'm going
oh
to
God.
Assume it's a gentleman. It's sandwich business.
Oh my God.
So what I'm hearing is that basically the plot point that takes us from the beginning of the movie into the second act is he actually lands a spot on Shark Tank.
He might, and, yeah.
Right.
Like the first half hour or whatever is, aside after from him accidentally discovering the magic alchemy that leads to this sandwich.
Right, after slinging butthole sandwiches out of his backpack
to you know,
whoever will
He's going to the delis, he's trying to sell them at stadiums, nobody's giving him the time of day. Finally, he's kind of, you know, I got to think big. I need to go to the big leagues, and ends up, you know, sort of like entering into a Shark Tank or one of those type shows.
And Mark Cuban is like, this is going to be the next Cuban sandwich.
Yes.
Mm. I'm so sorry for the bad pun.
Yes.
Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry, Zach.
Takes a buttload of equity.
Yeah, because it's like, this is the kind of sort of corporate confidence tone that would really only resonate with the people on Shark Tank and not anyone else in the real world. So it would like be a funny kind of sense for, you know, or make a funny kind of sense for him to go on Shark Tank and like really vibe with the people there.
No, but you know what happens? So he has to create, accidentally create the sandwich in like his office kitchenette.
Right.
With whatever the leftovers are there. And his office friend is just kind of hanging around when this happens. Then his office friend is deeply annoyed when he's pitching it to all the delis and to all the places. But once he strikes it big at Shark Tank, all of a sudden his friend just shows up and is going, hey, where's my cut? It's like, wait, what? What do you mean your cut? Like, it's my sandwich.
Sauerkraut.
It's like, no, like, you know, like, hey, like, I put that sauerkraut that you used in the fridge. I was there. Come on. Like, I am co-owner of the asshole. I'm the co-inventor. And then it's all of a sudden, you know, a legal case about who is the owner of the sandwich business.
And that friend, that role, will win Paul Giamatti his first Oscar.
Oh, there we go.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Christian Bale, starving Christian Bale, and Paul Giamatti.
Match made in heaven.
What would those guys talk about? Like, what would that conversation between those two characters even look like? It's just like such a weird mismatch. I love it.
Well, you have about a minute 50 left. Is there anything else that you would love in this movie?
Well, so clearly the frame of it is now The Social Network, where it starts with a very heated legal battle
right
over this asshole sandwich.
I definitely want the TED Talk within a movie.
Oh,
that is
yeah.
The guy talking about the themes of the sandwich.
Oh my
and explaining
God.
Them in detail.
No, we have to like get the original poster to like send the themes over at least.
Oh, yeah.
Because can't write that stuff.
No,
like, you gotta
go
to the source.
Right. Wow.
It would also be very funny if the guy didn't eat sandwiches for whatever reason.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, if he was
he only eats wraps.
Or if he was a celiac or something, you know, where, you know, he just like was like completely like, oh, no, this is not for me. But like, this is a great sandwich. I just know it in my bones.
It's a mass market product. I'm more of a niche eater.
Right.
Can I add the last line of the movie?
Please.
100%. So sort of like Social Network or something like that. He's leaving the courtroom or he's leaving the deposition. Yeah. And whoever it is, the Christian Bale character or the Paul Giamatti, just like puts their coat, you know, is like over their shoulder. Says, by the way, the secret ingredient is friendship.
Oh.
And then you have so much to take away there.
Yeah,
like, right. It's like a powerful ending.
Maybe the themes of the sandwich were not what we thought all along.
Yeah.
It's really not about hustling alone. It's about hustling together.
Can't hustle alone.
The way that two slices of bread
hold together. No. I think you're really onto something here, Zach.
Well, that's time.
Wow. My God.
Hustle and hunger coming to theater near you. Call us Paramount.
You know, nothing turns a like just kind of like low level bad idea into a like Hall of Fame bad idea. Quite like someone's conviction that they have a great idea. Quite like someone just being absolutely 100% sure that they've knocked it out.
This is a very mild, someone doesn't understand how the restaurant industry works idea, but the way that it's phrased.
No, it's a work of art.
The blind faith.
Yeah.
Really gratifying.
Alrighty. Well, this has been our two ideas for today. But check back later the week and we'll be back with our guest for a bit of a different kind of an episode, a little bit more of a conversation. So stay tuned for that.
See you on Thursday.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, Jeffrey Felsher, and Dia. Today's episode features music by Stateshir and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review wherever you listen and share it with someone you love. Thanks.